into existence. Now, he willed it in. He said, you know, just instantaneously it was there. And then he called Moses up here in 1490 BBY, or before the birth of Yahshua the Messiah, through the loins of the Virgin Mary. You have to qualify all of that. And he called Moses up here, and he shows him in a vision how that he created this creation. Now, you sit down and read the Bible, and you come up with these things that the Founder has brought to us. What I'm trying to show you, that if you've still got H.C. Kindling up here, or if you've still got Bob Harris up here, if you've got Gary Mathis up here, if you've got Burbank Mitchell up here, if you've got Freddie Allen up here, if you've got Aaron Bryant, whoever might be the one that you might have held up here as being this one, you've got to put him down. You better put him down. That one's not going to be able to help you, and not in the least, because it's not according to any individual personalities or what have you. It is only the Spirit of Yahshua the Messiah that is going to be saved. That's all. Only that Spirit. He's not going to take these contrary things that's walking around here. As the Founder said to us, he could do nothing with this misdirected, egotistical soul that we have in these bodies. And folks, that's what it is. You're going to have to just come down and admit that what you knew, what you have, what has been in these bodies is not the thing that's going to heaven. You're going to have that change. It's going to have to be cast out and made anew. In fact, get 2 Peter, the first chapter. And before we continue, let's just take a look at this divine nature that's here. Read the first verse and then the first couple of verses, then go to 4 and down.
1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of Yahweh and our Savior Yahshua the Messiah.
Okay. 4th verse. And down.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Exceedingly great and precious promises. Read.
That by these ye might be partakers of his nature.
What?
His nature.
By these you might be partakers of his nature. In other words, you're going to become his nature. You're going to take on that nature. Now what it was a nature something like this. See, when they put him up here on the cross, he was nailed up here. And he was up there and he looked down on the ones that put him up there. And he said, just let me get off of this cross and I can get even with you. Forgive them. The ones that drove the nail. He said, forgive them. Now, what are you, can you do that? No, you can't do that. Not yet today. Even what you say, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And you're gonna draw back. I use it this way, down on the freeway, somebody cuts you off. And about that instant, if he takes it out then, you're going to lose your soul. Because what's in your heart at that moment when that somebody cuts you off on the freeway? Folks, you still need Yahshua. You're not going to be perfect in this thing. You're going to need Yahshua the Messiah, right on down to the end. But you see, but continue reading, please.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Mm-hmm. That by these ye might be partakers of his nature.
Of his nature, thee.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
He has escaped this lusty thing out here in the world, read.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
See, now add to your faith virtue, read.
And to virtue, knowledge.
And to virtue, knowledge, read.
And to knowledge, temperance.
And temperance, read.
And to temperance, patience.
Now you see what we're building up to here? You got this is the divine nature of Yahshua the Messiah. And if it's going to be saved, that's what's going to be in you. Now when that guy cuts you off on the freeway, you're going to have some temperance. Well, if he knew what I know, he wouldn't do that. Isn't that what we do now? No, we don't. We get, so you draw back, somebody would get out and break somebody's headlights. But read.
And to temperance, patience.
Uh-huh.
And to patience, reverence.
And to patience, reverence. Read.
And to reverence, brotherly kindness.
Brotherly kindness. Are we kind to our brothers? Read.
And to brotherly kindness, love.
And to brotherly kindness, love. Read.
For if these things be in you.
Now, if these things be in you, this is where I want to get down to. Read.
And abound.
Read.
They make you, and you shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah.
Okay. Now, that's what I wanted right there. See, with these things that we just read, be in you, then you're not going to be unfruitful or barren in Yahshua the Messiah. And that's the thing that's going to have to be in every one of us. So when we see that we got Yahweh Elohim here moved out of this pure spirit state into this superincorporeal form, see, now he created himself a creation. But through this one creation here, he did create the angelic. See, now you can't leave them out. You're going to have to take care of them. The angels were created. There was the angelic host that were created. And within that, within the angelic host, there was that one negative spirit that was set aside. Now, folks, he's not your adversary. He's not your adversary. He's Yahweh's adversary. Now, you, regardless of how exalted and great we may be in this knowledge, are no match for him. He will have you eating right out of his hand, carrying you right on down the road to destruction, making you believe that you're on your way to heaven. Oh, he's smooth. He's smooth. He's going to use all the deceptive merchandise and what have you at his disposal. He'll interrupt you at every avenue, every time you turn, and your weakness is what he's going to capitalize on. Whatever it is, if it's women, he's going to have them women parading right by you all the time. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He knows what it is that's going to bring you down. And if it isn't Yahshua in you, you will come down. It's going to have to be that spirit in you that sustains, not you and not me. And just like when we was a kid out here in the world, you want to learn your multiplication tables, and as soon as you learn your nines, you run out there and, I know my nines, or I know my tens. Well, I know my 12, my 11s, well, I know my 12. Or then you kind of brag a little bit and what you've learned. Yep. Well, now what we do is we get a little knowledge here. Hey, look, everything's threefold. There's a pattern in existence. You run out there with it, don't you? Yeah. 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 And pretty soon you got to the point where, see, you took this as your, look what I've learned down at that school. Just look at me, look what I've learned. And you're taking his righteousness upon yourself. You're not giving him the credit. You're not recognizing him. They didn't recognize him when he came over here, and you're not recognizing him when he comes down here. So you're taking that knowledge upon yourself and saying, boy, look at me. Look at what I've learned. When it's not you, it's the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. Like when the lady said, I've been a good person all my life. The founder said, well, that's what you should have been. That's your righteousness. That's her righteousness. Now, your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's just not going to cut it. Only the righteousness of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And folks, we don't have a whole lot of time to get prepared. But I'm having trouble getting off of this right here. See, when we have Yahweh Elohim coming into this shape and form, then he creates the angelic creation, and then he creates himself a worthy adversary. Now, that's a Lucifer. He put it in there, but
you know, that's what was back here. So you've got
like you had the Garden of Eden, you had Adam in there, like you had Yahweh Elohim, you know, Eve in there. Now Eve is the bride of Adam, so that's likened unto the angelic back here. So this is the
bride of Yahweh Elohim. And then there's that one right there, Lucifer. Now, he's a worthy adversary. I mean, he's one that's, get some of that with Lucifer. Isaiah 14 and 12, Ezekiel 28. And let's just talk about him for just a brief minute here.
Isaiah 14 and 12.
Uh-huh.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?
See, he was in heaven. Says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Read.
Son of the morning.
Son of the morning, read.
How art thou cut down to the ground,
uh-huh,
which didst weaken the nation?
Read.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven.
He said, he said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. John or Freddie, and Freddie might have learned all this stuff. He said, I am going to heaven. No, you know, it's not going to necessarily be that way. What you have been is going to just have to pass away. And you're going to have to realize that new nature or spirit in you completely.
But thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of El.
I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of El. Read.
I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation,
uh-huh,
in the sides of the north.
Read.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
Uh-huh.
I will be like the Most High.
So Yahweh said he would dwell in the cloud between the wings of the cherubim. And he says, I will be what I will to be. In other words, he just wills these things into existence. Here comes one that says, I'm going to exalt myself above this one here. I'm going to be above the clouds. In other words, he's the one that was cast out of there in the first place, but he said he would be like the Most High. So now, here you come along, walking along in one of these bodies here, made in the likeness and image of the Creator. You're like the Most High. You're a creator. You create things. You make automobiles, television sets. But you got to see, you don't know your Savior. You don't know Yahweh. You don't know Yahweh in this existence. You're walking around here in it, but you don't know Yahweh. You're just as ignorant of it as you can be. In other words, just as that ignorance, the thing that brought the whole thing down, the separation from Yahweh in the first place, that's what brought it down. That ignorance, that separation. And as long as we walk separate, as long as we walk exalted, we're still in our sin. We haven't accepted Yahshua the Messiah, and he's crucified afresh daily because we refuse to receive him in our hearts. We take this knowledge upon ourselves. But anyway, when we come back here to Yahweh Elohim, when he made this creation and he made the worthy adversary, all this that was back here was just physical examples of those invisible things. So we could look at this in order to understand what happened back here. Now this is all going according to the purpose of Yahweh, that he was going to gather together in one. Now that's what he did right here. He gathered together in one all things. All things. Everything visible and invisible was all gathered together right here. Now he brought that on down and fulfilled it in Yahshua the Messiah, and he brought all things into subjection to this one or his son, Yahshua the Messiah. Now that's where we must come to. When he died out here on the cross, when there was a crucifixion or he was nailed up here on the cross, now that, see, they never put a nail in Yahshua the Messiah. They nailed the flesh up there. Now when that flesh was up there, that's your carnal mind and my carnal mind, and anything that we represent was nailed to the cross, all nailed up there and moved out of the way. And what? That he might be put in the hearts and minds of you and me. Now, that didn't stop back here at the Gentiles. That's still coming on down here yet today. But see, the purpose of Yahweh is that what he's going to do, he's going to gather together in one all things. That's the angels and the physical. He's going to gather together all things back into himself. And then after that, even the one that gathered all things back is going to be subject unto the Father, for it's all going to come right back into this state back here. Now what happens is when we can start to look into these things, and every time that these things have been brought out, you know, here lately you'll hear this speaker or that speaker or another come out with some of these things, and you'll say, uh-huh. It's being brought back.
It's been dormant with you, but nevertheless, it's coming back. That's what he said. I remember him. I can even remember some of the incidences and some of the things that took place and where we was at the time that he started to bring them out. I was up in Big Bear. I believe, Freddie, I went up with you when we went up there that day that he started talking about the purpose of Yahweh. Now, he just brought this thing in and said, now, from here on in, we're going to take this thing on into perfection. Said Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for all the age. I didn't understand that until we was in England in 1971. He'd sit down there and he's got his Bible out. He says, now, don't think that we come over here to save the world, because the world wasn't created in the first place to be saved. It's created to demonstrate the purpose of Yahweh, and this is going to be preached as a witness for or against. Now, whichever way that it's taken or that it's received, it's going to be for you or against you. One way or the other, and to him, it doesn't really matter. He's going to get his glory either way, because see, it's his purpose being worked all the way through. Now, when you look at this Yahweh Elohim and bringing forth the creation and showing how that he came in according to, brought everything in according to the pattern. Now, just like me. Now, this I use myself all the time, because I could use anybody else, a cook or whatever. If a cook, or let's use a cook. If he's going to bake a cake, isn't he going to have to will that cake into existence? He doesn't reach into himself. He does, but he reaches in spiritually so and brings that cake into existence. It's a willing into existence. In other words, he doesn't take a part of himself and make it. It's willed out of him. This is a spiritual process, not a physical process. It's spiritual. I will be what I will to be. In other words, he willed it to be, and it stood fast. Now, when he done that, if I'm developing a computer program, if I don't have it in me, I'm sorry, it will not get out on that paper or on that computer. It's in me. And it has to be brought out of me. Now, that's the bringing forth of, or coming from, Yahweh Elohim. As they go back into that analysis there in the textbook, showing how that this all came from him. Well, it did come from him, but it came from him in a spiritual sense, not a physical sense. They didn't cut a hole in his side and bring forth the first day, bring forth the second day, bring forth the third day, like unto the man with the woman being taken from the man. Now, that was done to show that the whole creation came out of the Father in the first place, or to show that it was in him. So that's Adam was the father of the human race. He had to be a father, and the creation came from him in that state. He had to be a son, because this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the sonship degree, there was a son in his own likeness. Second, bring him down, and he became the father of sons and daughters, bringing a whole thing down. See, when you start looking at the purpose of Yahweh, and you must know how Yahweh brought these things in, and realize that you are one of those angels. You are a part of this back here. You are a part of it. That means we've got 5 minutes. Is that the bell? Now, what when we come down and see that when he brings it on down, and he gave us a pattern. Now, the pattern, the most holy place, court round about. Now, take that pattern. Now, what he's done, he put it up here on the chart. Then now, Luke used it as a slide rule. Let's just slide it on back here. The most holy place, court round about. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. We're going to have to see the demonstration in there. Abstract, intermediate, concrete. Whoops. Abstract, intermediate, concrete. These three are one. Not three. Not a trinity. These three are one.
Now, if we've got to get that in there, because that's the unity of the Spirit, that's the unity of the Father. The Father, Word, and the Holy Spirit will be abstract, intermediate, and concrete in His purpose. And you must see all three in unity, not separated out into three different areas. He's created Himself a creation in unity, not separated out into all different areas. So when you see that Yahweh and His purpose, see, He is Elohim, the archetype or the original pattern of the universe, and when you see what this man, and it's his name they put up here, H.C. Kinley, what that man, what was brought through that man, that was brought down here in this age, he went back into the mind of Yahweh and showed you and me what was in the mind of Yahweh, and when he developed and brought forth this creation, who was that? Now who do you suppose that was? Are you going to leave that on a man to do something like that? No. It was not a man. That was Yahweh Elohim himself, or Yahshua the Messiah, demonstrated right down here among us. Right down here today, beginning in 1931, and then he started perfecting this thing in 1971 and brought it on down to where we are today. Now look, folks, we're 63 years into this vision, 1931 down to 1994. It was 63 years from Yahshua the Messiah down to John. 63 generations. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just showing you something. 63 generations of the flesh. Is that right? And he was the last of those 63 generations. The 63 years down to John here on the Isle of Patmos, the revelation was given. We read Joshua 24th chapter, folks. Now, it's like I said, I'm not making no predictions, but if we're going to get cleaned up, it's about time to start. Because the time is running out. The word, it's out there. Right now, it's out there. You can just see the signs. It's just they're everywhere. Right now, this thing is over. There's nothing left. There's nothing left out there. But what, it's not just the almighty dollar, folks. This thing, they're talking about a world economy. Now, when the economy comes down this time, it's not just a buck. It's the whole thing is coming down. That's what's happening right out there now. Now, whether or not you agree or disagree, we'd better come together and kind of try to understand these things. But, you know, we're going to contend over words. You're going to lose your soul. You don't want that. There's no reason for that. We've got too much proof, too much evidence. And folks, you're blessed beyond anything that's out there in the world today. The people that are outside, very few of them out there, know anything about this. They don't know about this. You're blessed. So come on back, you guys, and this week, given everything you've got, you go away from here with Yahshua the Messiah more perfect in your heart and mind.
Thank you.
Will be our International Vice President and Dean, in addition to the licensed medical doctor, Dr. Robert Harris.
I'm pleased to have this opportunity to come before you and to expound upon the things that we have come to know and understand since we have been in attendance in this school under this great divine panoramic vision and revelation. Before I get started, I just want to say this. I want to commend the convention committee for their work in getting this thing together. It was a very wonderful show of cooperation that took place among various ones to put this affair on. We want them to know that we certainly appreciate it, as well as we appreciate you taking the time out to attend this convention. It was just a few months ago that we broached the idea to you, and you have responded almost 100% in coming here. And I know it's been a great sacrifice unto a lot of you, especially from a financial standpoint. But I would like to ask the convention committee if they could find it possible, and I'm happy that we are in Los Angeles, where it might be possible to secure that 40-foot chart and bring it. I didn't realize that you weren't going to bring it. If I had known it, I would have definitely emphasized that we need it. Even if we don't use it, just the presence of that chart here is very significant to me. But of course, we do intend to use it. If you could possibly get it here, if not before this next session this evening, then by tomorrow, hopefully you can hang it up on the side there somewhere. Could you do that for us, you think? Convention committee? Thank you very much. Now, after the Dr. Gary Mathis was the first one that, not the first one, but he came to me, roughly about 6 to 8 months ago, and mentioned the idea of having a deacon's meeting. And I just thought momentarily, and I said, well, yes, I think it's time for such a meeting. And I had been approached before about having a deacon's meeting, and at that time I just said that I didn't think there was a need for one. That's some 7 or 8 years ago. And more than likely at that time, there wasn't a specific need for one as it is today, because since that time, there have come up many controversial things that, to some extent, are causing some divisiveness among the brethren. And we thought that maybe by coming together that we could get some of those things straightened out. So then it became my responsibility, not having any precedents to go by, no previous example, as to how we would set this up and how we would carry it out, because it's an unusual meeting that we have here, very much unlike anything we've ever had before. One thing that's missing is the singing. And we haven't had any choir. I attend CME courses all the time, what you call continuing medical education courses. And when we meet in those assemblies, they just wrap the gavel, call everybody to attention, and then call on the first speaker. And generally, it's somebody with a reputation for knowing what they're talking about. Some professor emeritus out of Harvard or Yale or someplace like that. And the audience that he's speaking to are skilled men and specialists in their own right. For instance, say it's a cardiologist that's speaking from Harvard. Well, he's speaking to an audience of cardiologists, you see, who labor in their own field daily. Now, he must know what he's talking about when he gets up before them. You understand? Because they're not a bunch of fools sitting out. And I want you to know that was the first thing that came in my mind when it came to having a dean's meeting. You are deans and you are leaders of flocks of people yourself. And you are not no fool. You understand? So when you have such a meeting like this, you're going to have to know what you're talking about in presenting whatever it is that you want to do. Because they are set up in judgment at all times, the things that are being said. This is, as Dr. Gary Mathis said, is more than likely the greatest assembly that we've had in this whole age, that is Pentecost, to what we have assembled here now. And certainly, knowledge has been increased, and the level of understanding is greater now than it more than likely was 2,000 years ago. Now, in my deliberations, I just kind of waited patiently on Yahweh to just show me how to carry this thing out. And this is the way that it came to me. Firstly, I solicited the help of the four regional deacons. As you know, this tabernacle set out here in the wilderness. And on each of the four sides, there was an enzyme. An enzyme of an eagle, a lion, an ox, and a man. And there were three tribes under each enzyme. See, three tribes on the east side, three tribes on the west, three tribes on the north, and three tribes on the south. So I asked the four regional deacons, who are Dr. Burbank Mitchell in the east, Dr. Aaron Bryan in the south, Dr. Oliver Gill in the north, and Dr. Roger Jackson in the west, to submit to me three names of deans or otherwise in their congregation or in their region that would serve on a board of so-called quote-unquote experts. And they obliged by doing as I had asked. And these men that you see sitting up here in front are the men that were chosen by the four regional deans to be the board of experts that would handle your question. Out of the east, we have Dr. Robert Fentine, Dr. Joe Lapagola, and Dr. Michael Rothstein. I might say about Dr. Rothstein, he just came back from Zambia, Africa, where he spent practically a month over there trying to get something started over there under one James Kabbalah, whom some of you met last summer when he came to visit from school. And Dr. Rothstein reported to me yesterday that he was very much satisfied with the progress that had been made there in Africa. And we are hopeful that things will continue to improve. Now in the South, we have Dr. Herbert Jones, who is the president of the New Orleans branch, Dr. Ken Tarver out of Florida, and Dr. Jesse Nunn out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Those are the men that are sitting to the right. And on the left side here, we have Dr. Oliver Gill, we have Dr. Gary Carr, Dr. Terry Welch, and Dr. Ellsworth Wellmaker. And from the west, from Dr. Roger Jackson, we have Dr. Benny Allen, Dr. Freddie Allen, and Dr. John Harris. Now those are the men that you see sitting up here in front. Now they are going to help out in answering the questions that we have. Now there's a reason for me having a setup like this with six on one side and six on the other. Get to me to do the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 11th verse. And I want you to get the picture, if you please. Whether you realize it or not, we as the word just perched on this side of the Jordan River, ready to go over into Canaan land. See, this vale here, the River Jordan Vale, represents, you see, the changeover from this world that you're now living in into the next. And we all are going to go on over, you see, either in righteousness or unrighteousness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everybody is going over. defeat. But not everybody is going over in glorification. Some are going over in damnation. You see? Now, Yahweh knew that, and he had this kind of setup going on with the children of Israel. Just prior to their exiting the wilderness of Sinai and their entering in into Canaan land. Please read.
Deuteronomy 27:11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali."
Now, that's the kind of situation that we have here now, you see. Now, the four regional deans, Dr. Garrett Myers and I, will form the speakers selection committee. We are the ones that will call upon various ones to carry the questions that will be asked. And we hope to give you a chance to ask questions. We have microphones set up conveniently for you. It should be, okay, one over on the right, one over there. To come to those mics and ask questions of the speaker. And we hope that you can confine your questions to the subject that is being discussed at the time, because we want to try to zero in on these things and get one thing straightened out at a time, you see, rather than to try to treat the whole gamut of things, you see. We hope to cover the whole gamut while we're here, but as for now, we want to kind of zero on particular subjects. And that's the way that we hope to carry this out. Now, Dr. Gary Mathis has already told you some things that I have formally said in regard to the way I see this thing now. Do you mind getting for me the last part of the fifth chapter of Hebrews, I believe it was. Where it says, "When for the time that you should be teachers." If it's not there, then please find it for me. And I just want to be plain and just simple and just open up to you what I have on my heart. Now, you are not obligated to buy it, you see. You can reject it or you can accept it. Just whatever you want to do, you just go ahead and do that. It's my job and my responsibility to put it out there for you. Please read it.
Hebrews 5:12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh."
Read.
"And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat."
Now, there was a time that all of us needed milk. You see, you can't grow up. When you're a babe, you have to resort to milk, you see. And you know what the milk is. 28th chapter of Isaiah, 9th and 10th verse, said, "Them that are weaned from the milk," you see. Now, you just don't want to always stay on milk. You see, you're going to have to be weaned from that and get on something more, you know, strength producing, you see. Something that's really going to cause you to grow. Milk is fine for a time there, and it is fine all the way through the adult life. That don't mean you ever get away from it.
Right.
But you should emphasize a little bit more than just the milk of the thing. That's what Paul is telling the people there. When for time you should be teachers, you see. Now, have you finished reading that?
"Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh."
And by the way, that's another thing too. I know in Los Angeles we have this problem all the time, see? That we have new people coming in, you see. And if you're obligated, when you have new people coming in, to try to reach that new person for the first time. I think Paul talks about that in the 14th chapter of Corinthians. You see? You've got to go out and reach out to those that haven't heard this, you see. And a lot of times, because of the fact that we do have new people coming in, it keeps you relegated to this level of teaching basic
fundamental thing, giving out the milk, you see, rather than the strong meat. You understand? But now in a body like this, see, now this is one time we didn't invite the public in. This is a closed meeting. You understand? See? And we're not having visitors in, see? So this is an occasion where we can get into some strong meat. You understand? Which hopefully will be helpful unto all of us. Vince Reed.
Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Read on.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Read.
For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age.
Read.
Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
All right, that is. Now, we're right on over to the next chapter.
Therefore, leaving the beginning.
Now, see, now that therefore is a conjunction. See, a conjunction is the word that joins together two complete thoughts. See, the chapter really shouldn't have been broken at that point. You see, it should have just continued over. Therefore, Dr. Kennedy used to make such a classic example of the sixth chapter of Romans. Just pause for a moment there and pick that up. The sixth chapter of Romans. Just to give you an example of what breaking the train of thought, you know, and separating the predicate, accepting from the predicate, can do. Read.
Romans
6
and 1. What shall we say then?
Now he said, now somebody were to come up to you and say, now what shall we say then? What are you talking about? What shall we say about what? And he said, now that Bible was divided up by, in the chapters and verses, like that by some Catholic monk that was journeying from one place to another. He didn't have nothing to do as he journeyed along, but to just divide up the Bible. See, and just, evidently he went to sleep at some point. And he just divided the subject from the predicate. See, you can't do that, you see, because the subject is up in the fifth chapter of Romans, you see, and the predicate is in the sixth chapter. So it begins on, what shall we say then, see? And that's just that's the wrong place to make that division, see? Likewise, the same thing here with the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Please read.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Messiah.
Now, therefore, leaving the principles of the basic things that you, the elementary things that you've been talking about. And by the way, see, Dr. Kennedy, when he made this chart, he called this the elementary chart. But now, elementary will kick you on into heights, you understand? Just soar you on up above the sun, moon, and stars. Don't think because we say elementary that means that you don't use this. You see? You use this and go on level up into heaven. It's like a ladder, you see? You go wrong by wrong, and you keep using a higher wrong each time, it'll carry you right on into heaven. But you're taking one wrong at a time. W-R-U-N-G. Wrong. Not W-R-U-N-G. Okay. Read.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Messiah, let us go on unto perfection.
Let us go on to perfection. What is the perfection that the Apostle Saul is talking about? You see? The perfection, he said, now at one point, he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Yahshua the Messiah. See? Now, the mark of perfection is for you to become part of this body, be in Yahshua the Messiah. Anything short of that is missing the mark. You see? It doesn't matter how much you know and how much you can recite, how much you can memorize, how much you can quote, and how you can sway audiences and command the attention of this one and that one, that does not cut the mustard. The big $64,000 question, and we should change that, that's worn out. $128,000. Double what it used to be. It comes down to whether you individually and personally, not your dean, not your best friend, is in Yahshua the Messiah. Now that's what counts. See? I tell you of a certainty, it's a serious thing. It's a perilous situation that we are in because so many of us think. You see, just because we know a few things. And just like Dr. Gary Master said, things that you didn't even remotely know anything about when you came down here, and all of a sudden you've been wised up, see? And you around teaching your teachers. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You understand? When you didn't know nothing when you came here, you see, and you had to sit around and listen to others before you learned it. So you got to, oh, I see how this thing goes now. Well, thank you, bud. I don't need you. And then you all, see, Joshua the Messiah, see? Joshua, see? Moses got the credit for bringing him out of Egypt, is that right? But he-